Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think that by this is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Howdy, hi, howdy, ho, everybody. It's Crab Diving Thursday, hurtling at you from Los Angeles, California, from the beautiful neighborhood of Koreatown, where occasionally you're going to hear a siren, maybe somebody yelling in one of many languages. It's a wonderful melting pot here in Los Angeles, California. We're going to be live here on Crab Diving, coming at you for the next couple hours. It's a little bit after 2 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, a little bit after 5 out on the Eastern Type Coast, if that's where your ear holes are sucking us in. We appreciate you taking us in. If it ain't between that time, you know what it could be? You're listening to us as a rerun or as a podcast. Either way, we are grateful as fuck. My name is Patrick Vile, sitting in today for Ryan Pfeiffer, who is in Pensacola, Florida, unable to be on the show today. Is the very funny member of the crab diving family here on the network. The very funny Mr. Brent Parrish, the Hollywood Hick. Hey, Brent, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me, man. I love coming in here.
Brent hops on the train. He gets to experience a little bit of some of the wonderful public transportation experience.
Today
here
was actually a pleasant experience.
It wasn't bad?
There weren't the crazy. There was not a woman with her titties hanging out and her pants falling down, disturbing things. There weren't crazy people yelling. It was actually quite adorable. Yeah, there was like a little girl in her little purple stroller. And like the funny thing about it was, the scariest looking dude on the train is the one she liked the most, and he kind of played peekaboo with her the whole time, so it was adorable. The whole train ride over here was adorable.
Well, that's amazing.
I know, you don't get that very often. As I was walking over here, I was like, all the adorable on the train has been used up for the next like 6 months. I'm going to have nothing but crazy yeah, and fucking nonsense thrown my way for every ride for the next 6 months.
You sit down in a puddle of hepatitis.
Yeah, I worry about that every time. I try not to touch anything. Like, it's where yoga comes in handy. Because I do like the mountain pose where you sort of like ground yourself. And then I'll just stand there sometimes and see if I can not let the train knock me over and see if I can go the whole ride without not touching anything.
How does that go?
If there's not too many people, I've pulled it off before.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of have to like just sort of concentrate and be a little bit of zen on the stops and starts. Mostly the stops when they're going fast and they come to an abrupt stop. Some of them are really kind of ease into it, but some of them are a little more aggressive. Those are the ones that challenge you.
Have you ever seen those out of Japan where they got the guys with the white gloves that stuff people into they push people into the subways? The subways there are so crowded that somebody's job is to stand on the platform and push,
shove more people,
shove
into the
people
train,
into the train so the door closes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I remember riding to
how
work.
Do you get out? Like, if you're in the middle somewhere and it's like you're packed in there like sardines.
Everybody has to get out and then get shoved back in, I guess. That happened to me in Chicago sometimes, because Chicago, some of the trains are like that during rush hour.
Yeah, when I was in London, working in rush hour, it was like that, I guess, sometimes. Because it would be so packed, a few people had to get off and then you had to get back on.
Which, good, by the way.
I just don't understand the people who don't get that. Can you please let me off this damn train before you try to get on it? Because that's why we have a traffic jam, because you need to fucking use your manners and let me off and everybody else who's trying to get off. And then you can come on, especially if you have a troller or a stroller or you're in a wheelchair. I saw a woman in a wheelchair a while back. People are trying to get off and she's yelling at the top of her lungs, I'm trying to get on. I'm like, bitch, if you would let them get off, you'd have plenty of fucking room, but you're so stupid. That wheelchair does not absolve you of stupid and or being an asshole, because you're being an asshole right now. That's what went through my head.
Now in the age of cell phones and video and everything. Now you can start like getting video of these people.
I know. There's one today. About it.
There's one running around today. I saw that it's some just sea hag warthog of a woman who is parked in at a school. Did you see it?
No, I thought you were going to tell a different one. But
this one's parked in a. She's not parked in the handicap spot, but she's parked into the, you know, next to it. A lot of times they have a full spot with a zebra painting on it so that you, the black and white stripes, no parking, so that the person getting in, the handicapped person
has
who might
room
be
to
in
get
a
in
fucking
and out.
Wheelchair can be loaded in and out of the side of their vehicles. Well, this cow was parked in that space.
In the slatted off space.
Right. Well, this guy whose son is handicapped took a picture of her in that spot. And then he started the video because she lost her shit. And she comes running up at him and she's like, who do you think you, what are you doing? Why do you have to be so rude? You should have just come up to me and asked me to move it. But you know what would happen if that were the case.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it would have been exactly that. Like, you're just basically doing exactly what he was trying to avoid. Like, and the thing about it is you're not even that smart to be able to know that that's what you're doing. Like, you're so reactive and stupid. That's all you'll ever be. And you're such a self-entitled, see you next Tuesday of a bitch-ass bitch.
And then she does the, do you know who I am?
Oh, my good. Like that Kennedy girl. Did you see that?
No. Oh, Kennedy, the VJ?
Kylie Kennedy or something like that.
Oh.
She like yelled the Google me, don't you know who I am to get in a bar,
no,
and she's
way.
Only 19.
Google
yeah.
me, don't you
It's
know
on the Hollywood Hick, y'all. I'll talk about it. Y'all should listen.
Oh, yeah, listen on the Sevens, everybody. There's
yeah,
a new
the
episode
sevens.
That dropped last night, actually.
Yeah, it was a day late. Sorry if anybody was listening when it was paying attention on Tuesday, but the Hollywood Hick was sick, so I can't cough and talk at the same time, so
right.
It's late.
You just want a quality product.
Exactly. Yeah.
Actually, you don't want to have to fucking edit out every 15 seconds where you're like, but you're back up on the horse, so to speak, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm back up on the horse now.
Back up on the horse. What was the big story on last night's? I missed last night's. I was working.
Oh, what was I talking about last night? I went on a big old tirade about, like, Bill O'Reilly still pissing me off. What else? Like, a bunch of, like, all these little self-entitled rich kids are like, a couple of them are getting their come up and
like that.
And
Hilton.
There's like a follow up to that damn stupid fashion police story that I have been following. That I can't, but it's like good. Story. It's the wrap of it. It's good. Like everything you see on the news is wrong. The Hollywood Hick has it right. Cause my blind gossip website done told the truth and they always tell the truth. And so
I've been to that blind gossip site.
I'm obsessed with it now. I'm completely, it's just called
Yellow
blind
Banner.
Gossip.
Yellow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very simple.
And then, but they do they answer them if it's been solved?
Yeah.
Can you find
out?
There's
a solved one today I saw on there about Corey Feldman, where apparently he's like into like...
He's a mess.
Yeah, he's a mess. And he's like into like kinky shit. Like he was at some sex club in New York. That's the kind of stuff I don't really care about.
Who's surprised with that?
Whatever. I know. I'm not surprised at all. I don't really care. I do care. Like there's one on there now that's pretty good about like... they pretty much referenced one of our favorites. Mr. Downtown Abbey freaking office, Aaron Schock. Apparently, they allude to him on one of them as being, do I talk about, I might be giving this one away, but whatever, but they allude to him on what, but that he is basically sending pictures of his butt to one of Wiener's old sexting partners.
On.
This is what they're saying. It's the Guess Who, and it's pretty, the last line of it is something to the effect of, don't be shocked, blah, blah, blah. It's like one of those where the context clues are very, who knows? It's a blind thing, whatever. But most people's guesses on there are Aaron Schock, and it's kind of fun to read the comments of people and their funny comments about that guy.
That's amazing. Here's one, a sexting scandal. Here's another one. This is the one about Corey Feldman, I think it is.
Yeah, he's they'll sad. Put solved on there.
Creepy.
It was solved.
Creepy, creepy. Yeah, Aaron Schock, that one's hilarious. You know, he did pay back some of that money.
Yeah, but that to me just screams guilt. You know?
40 grand.
Yeah, I know. He paid back 40 grand.
Why
That's
do
what
you
I saw
need to decorate your offices at Congress? First of all, you shouldn't fucking be sitting
It should
in
just
there.
Be a standard, here's
working.
Your office. This is our standard
right.
our standard decor. Everybody has the same. Live with it. We're going to spend money on something important.
Fucking
asshole.
Cube. Put them all in a big room with cubes, those assholes.
And like have it slated for like every 20 years, they get new carpet, kind of like they do to slumlords do out here. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck you. You shouldn't get some fancy new office every time. Unless you want to come out of pocket your own, then make whatever you want out of it, I reckon. But don't, we shouldn't have to pay for your redecoration. It should be just, here's your standard issue office. Anything else is on you.
Yeah, that's kind of crap. I mean, I guess some of the times they say they get around that with, you know, it's donations. It's like, oh, well, let's donate to make our good representatives' offices.
So fucking annoying.
Put peacock feathers in there. And
I know.
You think he had Lindsey Graham over for decorating tips?
Oh, my God. I swear to God, he reminds me of that decorator back home. I think we talked about it last time I was
that's
here.
That's hilarious.
But I can't remember that guy's name either, too. I keep racking my brain ever since. But he talks like Lindsey Graham. Like, that was like they could have been like brothers or something. I'm not kidding.
The effeminate heterosexual?
Yeah. Overly effeminate heterosexual, which exists. I freely admit that they exist because I know a couple of guys that first time I met them, I was 100% sure they were homos. And then after getting to know them, I was like, nope. They're just a little bit more effeminate than most guys, but they still are down with the tang.
Down with the tang.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, it happens. But a lot of people won't let that shit go. Like, I think that's why some people that get out falsely outed, but then there's others that hide it. But like, sometimes people just need to let it go. I don't know why people are so fascinated with outing people anyway.
Well, Aaron Schock has.
Well, unless they do something to sort of,
I mean,
go against that.
Seen
whatever,
him at gay bars and shit.
Yeah.
And like he also
and he travels around with that hunky photographer, right?
He
takes his pictures.
He takes a photographer with him on like, professional photographer on trips so that he can have those great pictures.
So he can have pictures of him jumping in the snow. You said
right,
one time.
Yeah, yeah.
So fucking funny.
Amazing.
With total, like, just, like, Broadway jazz hands going, like, knees kicked back like it was adorable. Aaron Schock, if you
Fosse,
listen to this, it was
Fosse,
an adorable picture.
Fosse. Twyla.
You're just as adorable as that little girl playing peekaboo on the train.
On the subway today. So we can see what's going on, I guess, on the headlines. I really, I'm a little out of touch.
For these lame stream characters to get all weeded up about that.
That's perfect. Echoey there. Ladies and gentlemen, anyway, headlines today, if we check the Huffington Post right now, it says, Judge, American Justice for Sale. I did see the story earlier. It's a story of she was a judge in Alabamistan.
Alabamistan, I like that.
And,
that's hysterical.
And she... the headline says, I was Alabama's top judge and I'm ashamed by what I had to do to get there. You know, it's this, elected judges bullshit where how could they be anything but partisan?
I know, because you're forcing them to be.
Yeah. It's just,
you have to appeal to some group.
Right. And it's just a fucked up system. I just think things need to be.
There's a lot of shit fucked up.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
The other one is about, like, I'm very interested to see how it plays out. Is that gerrymandering shit up in the Supreme Court with the districts and all of that stuff?
Right. The current.
You know more about that than I do.
The current one that they're having. That one actually might be a lose-lose for the Republicans either way. I was reading an article the other day that. Kind of either way that one gets decided, it might have been one of those where now they're shaking their heads.
They're going like, why did we start this?
We shouldn't have done this.
Oh, see, I should
like the Obamacare one.
Yeah.
Is kind of biting them in their tight old white assholes right now because they're finding out that it probably ain't going to be the best PR to kick 9 million people out of their insurance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I read about that. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, they're just pissing off. But I think, whatever, it's 9 million people. I thought it was like 8, but same difference. That's still a lot of people you're going to piss off.
Yeah, and over a bullshit technicality that in any other case and precedent has been widely set, they would be like, well, obviously the spirit of the law takes precedence. You know, they found time and time again that the intent, if everybody agrees on what the intent was, that one or two words that are fucked up in it, you can go and fix those words, basically, you know, is what they use. They rule. That's why people were amazed that the court even took this up. You know, it takes four justices to agree to hear a case. And everybody was even amazed at that. They were like, this is, what the fuck is going on? That's, they talk about these activist judges, you know, the ones on the right.
I know, but there's like a couple of few of them sitting up there.
Well, it's, they're only activists when they don't vote the way they want them.
Well, that is true.
If the, this is obvious judicial activism, I think, this is a ridiculous, moronic case that's embarrassing. Even some of the top people that were fighting for it early were like, you know what, this is a really weak one. We maybe shouldn't have done this one.
And it's too late to take it back.
Right. So now the Supreme Court is in the position of having to try to punt on it. You know, they might punt on it. There's one way, I guess, Alito in the oral arguments. Alito.
What the fuck is Alito?
Oh, he's a fucking...
Alito. I thought Alito. You said Alito.
Oh, no, Justice.
Like, what the fuck is... I know, like, yeah, what's his name?
Fuckhead Alito. Yeah. Loathsome.
That's so stupid sometimes.
Loathsome. He was asking questions about, well, what if we defer the mandate for a year and give you time to fix it up, you know? So they're now they're saying they might even, that might be a way for them to punt, save face a little bit, and give it back to Congress. And you know how good Congress is at fixing shit.
They're the best. What are you talking about? They get so much done lately.
Yeah,
everything is just like...
Or, I mean, John Roberts might actually have a brain and actually give a tiny shit about what his legacy is. We talked about the legacies the last time.
I know. People just forget that part until it's too late. That's the sad part.
And just let this one go, especially with the upcoming election. It's just not going to bode well for the Republicans to be that crazy.
But the problem is there's a good number of them that are that crazy.
Look what happened with the funding finally this week.
I know. They finally had to like.
Caved. Boehner just was like, fuck it. All right. Here you go. 100% straight funding to the DHS with no attachments or nothing.
Exactly what should happen in the first place. So why do you have to go through all of that? I never, ever in a million years will figure out why it has to be such a. You have to get so. Ugly to get anything done. It's like I have to do this like on my personal level. That's like when I had to like deal with my phone that was bent. It's like I had to get ugly at the AT&T store before anybody did anything. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you know what, we found a phone for you, we can replace it with, even though we told you it was impossible for this phone to bend, but you're holding a bent one. You know what, we finally figured out we'll just replace it for you, okay, so you'll shut up.
What a coincidence.
Why do I have to become ugly in the middle of a store for them to actually do what they should have done in the first place, because your fucking shit you told me was impossible to bend was bent. It's the same thing with Congress. They're saying, my phone ain't bent. Yes, it is. I'm holding it. I'm holding it. It's like the same thing. And then finally, after everybody has to put their foot down and get ugly about it, then they finally go, okay, let's do what we should have done in the first place.
Right. There's that quote. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but you can always count on the American people to do the right thing after having exhausted every other possibility.
Right, it's so true. It is so true. It's like, why? It's like, why do I have to leave here with a headache and like residual anger when I could have come in and you would have been like totally stand up and be like, you know what? That really sucks. Swap.
Yep.
Everything. We would have had the exact same end as I'm walking out of the store, like with product in hand, whatever, either way. It's like you still ended up swapping a phone. I still ended up pissed off when it could have just been y'all swapped a phone, had a happy customer who probably would have tweeted about how happy he was,
right.
Instead of tweeting about how much you wanted to rub to shove his foot up your ass. But no, you have to like take me there, and then you realize, uh-oh, the wrong homo walked into the freaking Apple store and he's about to make a scene. I know, it was kind of like that. Like I was on the phone, like it was, I don't want to get into it, I'll get upset.
But this is a great article on Politico from the Sue Bell Cobb, who was the first woman who was the head of the state Supreme Court there in Alabama, Stan. But she says, I'd earned it the hard way to get to the justices' chambers. I had won the nation's most expensive judicial race that year, but at what cost? I needed $2.6 million to win. Look at this bullshit.
It's all based on how much money. Like, I don't understand that. Like, anytime, just people have allowed shit to get so out of hand and fucked up. Any election should be, if you qualify to run, if you meet these qualifications, this list, very, very clear before we begin, if you meet all of this, then you will get X number of dollars, just like each every one of you, and that's what you have to spend on becoming this.
Public funding.
Have at it.
Six weeks.
Outside monies, no, nothing, no, yep. No calling me, asking me for money. Because I have a friend, it was like trying to get me to like help on these, like on the, some work for somebody running for West Hollywood City Council. And I'm thinking to myself, one, I don't live in West Hollywood. Why are you trying to get me to make phone calls for somebody who's going to have a job that does not affect me any way, shape, or form? Two, I had a comedian friend who was running, and I think he kind of was doing it, maybe sort of for material, but still, he actually had some valid points that I would get behind if
and I'd probably still vote for him over somebody.
And the rest of them are corrupt anyway, so I was like, whatever. I'd rather have somebody funny than somebody corrupt, but whatever. But I was like, no, I'm not going to help you with your campaign. They would eliminate that. I would not have had to avoid my friend for a week and a half if there was that kind of bullshit.
And so you didn't volunteer?
Hell no.
You're not.
I'm going to volunteer.
Hitting the phone banks?
Not hitting a phone bank. Could you imagine? If I started talking to people, I would get pissed off. I'd hang up on people. They would finally be like,
fuck
friend.
You.
They would, like, my friend would get in trouble for having me do it in the first place. It's like, I know my audience. I'm like, trying to get somebody to give money to a cause I could care less about is not going to be something that happens.
Yeah, that's one. When I started temping in Chicago right after I graduated college, one of the first gigs I got was at some PR firm cold calling about the opinion of some like stock bullshit or something. And I did one day of that. I was like, I'm done. I'm not going.
Yeah,
back.
I wouldn't be able to do that either.
Yeah, it's really not worth it. Not worth it whatsoever.
I know how I am when some of those people call me. I couldn't do that. I used to get so upset. They call over. They still do. But now they're smart enough to just put a recording on there. And then if you hang up, then it's not. They don't usually hit you with the live person right away as often as they used to.
It did get worlds better once they started that registry.
Do not call thing.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it did get better. But now it's creeping back in a little bit. Have you noticed that? Like, I get shit on my cell phone that I never used to get years ago. Like,
do you even have a home phone?
No, I gave it up like a year or two.
Yeah,
ago.
I don't. Because
I finally was like, why am I paying? It wasn't much. I just basically had local service. I don't even think I had long distance on it. I just wanted a line.
Yeah. But the only calls I got were from those.
Well, then the real
assholes.
Thing I realized too is that line still works. If I have one of those old phones, if emergency happens, I can still use that to call 911. And that's all I'd really need. I mean, it would be nice to call other people if I had to, say it was an earthquake and shit went down. But right. If I could only get through to 911 and it was emergency, then I'm cool with that.
Get the vines going, get the tweets, get the kicks and the Snapchats.
Yeah. So Snapchats. You know what I just learned about Snapchat? I didn't know this. I don't even Snapchat, but I don't even know why I cared. But I thought it was because I was always like, Snapchat's bullshit because I was like, oh, if they really want the picture, they'll just screenshot it. But apparently, I guess Snapchat tells you if they screenshot it. So like you would know. Like if you send a dick pic through Snapchat and they screenshot it, it goes like, yo, dude, your dick just got screenshotted. And so then at least you like know what happened. You can be like, yo, dude, you got to get rid of it. But at the same time, it's like you're still being horribly, horribly trusting on the other end of that stuff. And then a friend of mine also pointed out, he's like, well, what if like it came up and then I used another phone to take the camera? I was like, dude, if you're going to walk around with two phones just simply to take pictures of pictures, then more fucking power to you. But like, that's just way more
energy
than I would want to expend for a dick pic.
You can have the dick pic then if you can, if you're that,
and fuck, I have
go through that much.
If I want a dick pic, all I have to do is Google dick pic. And there is nine.
You don't even. You can Google banana and scroll down a little bit, and you're gonna hit a dick pic on Google.
As long as you don't have that like safe for children box check.
Right. I never had that check.
I don't have no children. Ain't no fun killers running around here.
The headline: if we dumb it down, set our minds back a few hundred years, and scrape off 50 or so IQ points, go over to the Drudge Report, of course, because. One of their favorite subjects, anytime there's a snowstorm or a blizzard, obviously it proves that tap dancing liberal fuck Al Gore was 100% wrong about that global warming stuff that he talked about in his movie.
Makes no sense to me.
One last blast, it says. There's a big motherfucking snowstorm that's really rain, snow.
It's fucking some shit up,
shit
ain't it?
Out of, yeah. They're thinking another 1 to 2 inches per hour south of New York City to Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia.
That's a lot of fucking snow.
Sleet advancing across the south, extending from the I-81 corridor in southwestern Virginia to the I-20 in Mississippi.
And a lot of snow.
Northeastern Louisiana. I wonder if Ryan Pensacola's getting hit. With
I don't know. I bet my family is, though, the ones weather. In North and South Carolina.
So, yeah, it's been a...
I guess I should holler at my brother and be like, yai.
shit-tastic. There's a plane that slid off the runway. Did you hear about that today?
Oh, yeah. That's, there was some football player or something that was all pissed off as he left. He's like, I'm never flying again or something. Like, dude, every time you get in a plane and or a car, you're basically pulling that lever on that slot machine.
You might get three lemons.
Yeah, you don't know what the fuck. You might get fucking bar. It might be your day for three bars all across all the way. And then that's just it. But it's like you're like by getting on there in the first place, you were willing to take that chance. So you can't fucking throw a fit on the flip side unless it's like uber tragic. Everybody walked away. You're cool. It was a little shaking.
It's pretty fucking scary. Did you see the pictures though? It's like,
yeah, but they all lived and walked away. So don't like fucking hate.
The nose is precariously hanging over the water in that picture.
But the key word there is precariously.
Right. Right.
No, I mean, it's, I'm sure he's scared. I'm sure he soiled himself. And I feel bad for him. But it's like, whatever. I'm being harsh. I'm just doing it for comedic effect. Like, I would probably be pissed off, too. I'd be like, I'm never flying again. I probably wouldn't. Could you imagine if Ryan was on that plane?
Oh,
he would be ruined forever.
Yeah. I've told it before, but it's been a long time. What the hell? I don't know if I've told you. I was flying from Chicago to New York one time with a buddy of mine going to New York hangout. And... halfway over the Lake Michigan. So, you know, 20 minutes out of Chicago. We're climbing. And I'm like, God, I need my jacket. And, you know, and everybody's starting to reach for blankets and shit. It got really, really ridiculously cold all of a sudden. And then...
No pressure.
About 30 seconds later, all the air masks fall down. And
oh, that would make me
and
a little nervous.
There's this dead silence throughout the cabin, and people are like, well, what the fuck is up with, you know, there was no panic, there was no, it was more like a, okay, what is this about, why am I looking at this? And then sure enough, the guy gets on and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a loss of pressure, we ask that you put on your masks, we're starting an emergency descent. We're going to land. We've been cleared to emergency land in Detroit. Now, at that point, me and my buddy, who had been pre-drinking for the flight, were joking, put us in the water. Don't put us in Detroit. Put us in the water. We'll be safer. yeah, we had to put the fucking air masks on.
Did you put yours on before you put it on the kid?
Oh, well, there's no kid. I fucked the kid. And yes. And we... had to wear them until we landed, basically.
How long did it take before y'all landed?
It was probably 20 minutes, half hour. Another, you know, maybe 20.
But then
minutes,
as you're coming
hour.
Down, it's less dangerous,
once we got
right?
to, right, once we, they went to an emergency
the initial
descent.
Shot. So it wasn't
right.
like the engines are out. It was just like we lost pressure.
It was a cargo door had blown, we found out.
Did everybody's luggage
no,
go away?
No, nothing flew out or anything, but it was a significant seal breakage or something like that.
That's nuts.
That it happened all at once, and all of a sudden we just lost air
That's
pressure.
That's completely nuts. I came back from Hawaii one time. I'd gone over there with my family. I do not recommend going to Hawaii with your family because the daytime will be fun, but the nighttime sucks because they expect you to like hang out with them and not go to bars and shit. And it's just fucking unruly. Where you have to like wait till they go to bed and sneak off to the beach with a bottle of Jack Daniels and your fucking PlayStation portable and fucking play poker
after
and drink
bars.
Jack Daniels on a freaking chaise all lonely and sad and in Hawaii. So I highly do not recommend it. But on the way home from there,
cursing the waves, playing PlayStation.
I know, poker on the PlayStation. That's what I did. Drinking Jack Daniels shots, chasing it with Diet Coke. And but no, I was saying, well, I came back one time on that, and I took the cheapest flight I could get, you know, because I was I was like, it's just a few hours. I cheap out on flights. I don't care. I can suck it up for 4 hours of uncomfort to save a couple of $100 sometimes, you know? I don't give a shit. But whatever low rent airline I used, I forget what it was. On the way back, like, we stood there for fucking ever at that carousel waiting on our luggage. Like, it had gone on, going on an hour. People are getting pissed or going over to the point where the dudes who were behind the counter for the luggage questions just left. They were not anywhere to be found because there was like, we don't know. Then all of a sudden, one red piece of luggage came down. And it looked like a bomb went off inside of it. Oh, my God. Like, the side was blowed out and, like, some clothes were hanging. I mean, it was not a bomb. Like, the dude who owned it, like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but he grabbed it. I've never seen anybody do this before or since, but he grabbed it, pulled off the thing, sat on the ground, and literally stood there with the most bewildered look I've ever seen for, like, 5 minutes and stared at it. Like, what the fuck?
What happened? What is this?
Nobody knows. And then it was like another 30, 40 minutes before any other piece of luggage came after that. So I don't, and nobody would ever say what happened. People were just glad to get their shit and it didn't look like his. And sort of, I finally just moved on because it was like,
just don't ask questions. Move along.
Well, if you are waiting at the carousel for going on 2 hours,
yeah,
when you finally see your shit, you just take it and go. It's like, there's like no recourse along the way. Like, I threatened to write horrible letters, did I? No.
Well, that was the adventure with New York was then, you know, because we then were scrambling in Detroit to get a connecting flight through to New York.
Oh, so all your shit then got scrambled.
And so our shit didn't show up until actually the next day at the hotel, I think. Late that night. They put it in a cab.
That happened too. That fucking shitty airline lost my luggage on the way to Hawaii. Like, they had to send it to me too. Like, 2 days later, I had to wear the same shit for like a day and a half because they lost my luggage. So I was like, I guess, I don't know which was worse, losing your luggage or having to wait 2 hours and watch somebody bewildered at a bomb.
At least it was Hawaii instead of...
I know. It was Hawaii. It was fine. It was actually a lot of fun. But it's
like... See, I want to go to... I'm worried about going to Hawaii because that's where I might just... rip up my return ticket because I don't like cold anymore, and
I don't either. I don't do well
even
with cold.
Here sometimes.
Oh my god! This morning it was like
fucking cold.
Freezing.
This morning. Right. It was.
I woke up. I was like, because I always turn the heat down at night. I'm like, I shouldn't waste it. I'm all up and like snuggled up in this bed. I'm one of those people who like have like the down comforter and shit. You know, it's like I'm all like up in this. So when I'm up in there, I'm good. But as soon as I get out, I'm like, god. Damn, it's cold. And it's really not that cold. I look at the thing, and it's like low 60s on my little thermostat thing on the wall.
But it feels like
minus 60 to me. Like, that's how much of a pussy I've become. Yeah,
I took a picture of Kate sitting on my lap this morning.
Yeah, because she was freezing too,
wrapped in a blanket. Yeah,
see, even the dog is cold. We are not wrong. Like anybody, but to everybody else, we are major pussies when it comes to that, and I freely admit it.
Yeah,
but my blood is thinned or whatever it is you call it. But it's like whatever it is that makes you.
Now, Hawaii, I think, would be.
Like, they have that good. Like, I know, and I like a good afternoon rainstorm that lasts.
Yeah,
for like
me too.
10,
I do miss
minutes.
Rain a little bit.
Yeah, like, I love that we've actually had some rain out here, on and off for
thunder.
The last while.
Did you hear thunder?
That's still some pussy-ass thunder.
It is.
But, I mean, it's thunder, but it's not the stuff we use where, like, the whole house would shake.
Absolutely.
That I would sleep through. It was so common when I was growing up, I'd sleep through it. I was like, yeah, fuck it, it's just another thunderstorm. Back to the solid logs.
Right, that's great sleeping.
Oh, yeah. I've always actually been pretty good sleeping. If I don't sleep good, oh, my God. Just avoid the fuck out of me because I'm one of those people. If I wake up on the wrong side of the bed because I didn't sleep good, I think I talked about it on one of the Hollywood.
Yeah, your mom used to say that you walked up. Yeah, woke up the wrong side of the bed.
And it was like not often, but just often enough to where you could remember the last one before you hadn't forgot the last one before the next one happened. It's just how I roll. Sometimes I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I usually snap out about halfway through the day.
I snapped out of it
during the episode of Hollywood Hick where I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. By the end, I was happy.
There you go.
Only took 1 hour.
Well, podcasting will do that.
I know.
It's like Effexor.
I made other people look so bad that I felt so much better about myself.
Antidepressant?
Yeah.
Effexor?
It's Effexor. Okay. Yeah, one of those.
One of those. Lithium. Much better.
Do they still sell that shit?
Sure.
Lithium?
Yeah, they still put people on lithium. I knew a dude on lithium a couple of decades ago. It really...
See, a cold peel does that to me.
Cardboard.
A cold pill does that too.
Really?
That's why I try not to take it. Oh my God.
I don't like antihistamines.
You know what will fuck me up is a Sudafed.
Oh, yeah.
I take a Sudafed and I become the dumbest motherfucker on the planet. Like, I can't think straight. It's something between the stimulant in it and the decongested stuff or whatever. The two of them, I don't know what it, and I read it, looked it up online. I'm not the only one it does this to. That's why they use it to make meth anyway. That's why you have to go swipe your card at the
pseudoephedrine or whatever. Yeah.
That stuff makes me nuts. That's why I couldn't do crystal meth. That shit made me nuts. Tried a couple of few times. I was like, this is not for me.
I'm not into uppers.
I become so stupid. I can remember one time when I was working this job and I had a really busy, had shit to do. I had a call, took a Sudafed. And I can remember pacing backwards and forwards, just basically on one foot spinning because I couldn't figure out which direction to go until my good friend Lisa, who I loved, she just looked at me. She was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't know." I had no answer. It's like, I just didn't know where to go. And all I did was like start in one way and be like, "No, that's not right." Starting the other way, all because of a Sudafed. People pay a lot of money for that.
Pay money for that shit, yeah.
And I don't like it. I don't like being stupid. Like, I like booze and weed because if I monitor it right, I can still have my wits about me. Not saying I'd completely accomplish that every time, but for the most part, I can usually keep my wits about me. But Sudafed fucks a brother up, and I like say and do shit that I would never do off of Sudafed.
Maybe you should do that for the that performing under the influence show sometime.
That would be. I'm scared of what
Take
that
a
might
Sudafed,
do.
See what's good.
I hosted what that happens. Like a couple of times ago, and just got Cootie Brown drunk.
That was that whole weekend, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that's what started it. That was Quincy's fault because my friend Quincy books that shit. He's been on here before. Right?
Quincy Johnson sat in here before.
I love Quincy, but yeah, he was like, "You want to host?" I was like, "Sure." And then that just set off 4 days of acting like I was 22 years old again.
Awesome. Sometimes you need that.
I know. But the thing is, the flip side was horrible.
Coming back. You're not 22 anymore.
I do not bounce like that. I have lost a lot of bounce. A lot of bounce back.
The Super Bowl lost a little bit of bounce back.
Yeah.
What else are some stories? There's some good news. Some rare good news. Did you see this Ringling Brothers and Barnum?
Oh, they're getting rid of or phasing out elephants, right?
Right. I mean, they're going to take 4 fucking years to do it, but 3 years to do it. But a huge announcement that they will be phasing out the use of elephants in the circuses. The company said, quote, "There's been a somewhat of a mood shift among our consumers. A lot of people aren't comfortable with us touring with our elephants." Yeah, because you treat them like shit.
That's the thing. But that also, I'm kind of sad by it only because when I was a kid, that was my favorite part of the Fergus. The circus was pretty much the
Fergus
elephants.
Fergus is an adult circus. It's different. It's where the furries get together. And
but it was one of my favorite
like
parts.
Dressed like elephants and fuck each other.
It was what, but I mean, and I understand why it needs to be phased out. But at the same time, there's a little part of me that's sad because it's part of my childhood.
Right.
Because I remember my mother getting horribly, horribly upset with me at a Ringling Brothers circus at the Charlotte Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't remember how old I was, but I was a kid. But on the way out, one of the elephants took a dump and I lost it. I thought that was the funniest shit I had seen and I couldn't remember when. And because I've always
That's
been
funny.
A fan of it's
yeah.
funny. My mother was so embarrassed. And if you know me, I'm not like very, like when I lose it, and it's her fault because she's the same way or was the same way. But like she would like if she got to laughing, it was like big, boisterous, and you could not hold it back. But she didn't like sometimes when she didn't think that it was appropriate for me to let one of those loose. And I will never forget her just trying everything she could to stifle me, and it was impossible.
Sometimes that shit's funny.
It was hysterical, but I embarrassed the shit out of my poor mother.
I don't think I was big on circuses when I was a kid.
I liked it. I unfortunately like clowns. I'm not one of those people who are scared of clowns.
Right.
I think they're funny. It's like all of that. But I read a thing like 40% of people are kind of freaked out by clowns or something. It's a really
apathetic.
High percentage. Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not way into clowns. And
I think
I'm not
kind
afraid of them either.
But. Like, and I get that there's a, but it's like they're scared of every clown. Like I get scary clowns. Like the intent of this clown is to scare.
It.
But yeah, like it. But then, but they're scared of like Bozo and Ronald and right. shit like that. You know, like Ronald McDonald. So it's like, that I don't get. It's like the fun, happy clown. And I was a kind of a fan of those sad clown paintings. You know, like the.
Oh, the Emmett Kelly kind
of? I had one that hung over my bed as a kid.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. It was painted
the Black Velvet sad
clown? No, it wasn't Black Velvet. It was an oil painting done, but it was like the same kind of a clown.
Right.
An oil painting that Mrs. Oh, God, what was her name? It was an old lady that went to the church I grew up going to. We used to go sing Christmas carols to her every year. I can't remember her name. Whatever. But she was like somebody. My mother was big on buying art from people she knew. Like, she liked being able to know the artist.
Yeah, yeah,
in some
very cool.
Way, which I like that kind of, like.
Oh, having a story behind it is much better. Yeah.
But whatever. The thing about that, whatever, that hung over my bed. Well, now, my mama, not long before she died, gave it away to a church auction. And I have been searching that painting down ever since. Because I keep getting told how these hands it's been passed to. But one day I'm going to find that thing. Supposedly it's in a whole bunch of rolled up paintings in my friend Debbie's, like this chick I grew up with, her dad's garage. But all of the kids in that family, and there were like five or six, something like that, like whatever. And like the parents were artists, so they're all artists. So there's like thousands and thousands of rolled up paintings because her mother saved everything.
Wow.
And nobody can find it. But one day, I just have faith that that painting is going to show up. Because it would always kill me. Sad clown with the teensiest little balloons. I always looked at it. As a, even as a kid, I was like, those balloons are not sized right. Because it was like five teensy balloons beside a big giant clown head. And it always made me kind of giggle.
But you'll always remember that.
But I always remember. I can still see it
about
in my
it,
head.
Yeah.
The quirk about it. But I want it. And I can't find it. And I know it's somewhere.
I don't. All I have is, I have... the Humpty Dumpty, little stuffed Humpty Dumpty that I had as an infant in like the crib with me that has followed me.
That's pretty cool.
For centuries through all of my striding across the earth.
That's cool. So how, like from since you were like an infant?
Like in the, like it was one of my first toys, like in the crib with me.
I don't, I wish I had one of my blankets. Because I was a kid who liked his blanket. I was like Linus off of the Peanuts.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I called it my baby. And unbeknownst to me, my mom would like confess this like towards the end too. She was like, "Oh no!" She was like, "There was probably like 50 babies. Like it would get to a point where she'd be like, that thing is so gross. I would be asleep. And
I
she
just
would go
washed
in
it.
At night.
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, it's exactly what she did. And she would go in the night, and I would be sleeping with it all cuddled up and shit. And she would go in and just swap it out. And my dumb ass would wake up the next morning like, "What up?" Like I didn't even think about it. I'm sure it was like hours before I noticed anything. And she'd be like, "I washed it." And I was like, "Okay." And then that was that. And I didn't carry it around like it was just a night thing. It was like, oh, where's my baby? I can't sleep without that baby.
Did you have a dog?
We did, but all our pets were always pretty much outside.
Oh,
because my mom had allergies to dogs, so she wouldn't let me have inside pet.
I wonder if that's a difference, because I never had the blankie or even a favorite like stuffed animal.
You know what,
but I always had a dog with me.
Like if I had my cats, I always had cats and dogs. Like we had this collie. She was beautiful. Mm. Looked just like Lassie when I was growing up. Sandy. Beautiful Sandy dogs. Buttercup. I remember because she was full bred, so she had like the papers.
Right.
I don't know why I remember that. But she hated black people.
Oh, no.
She did. It was awful.
My German Shepherd, too.
I don't know why. And
would just start barking.
I know. I mean, and I would have my friends over. Yeah. And like my mom would be like, before we came in, like she'd be like, Sandy's in the pen, right?
I blame my dad.
Like, well, like she would ask my dad. She was like, Brent's bringing, like, some of his friends are black that are coming over. So Sandy's in the
put
pen,
up
right?
Lassie. The
yeah,
racist.
Put up Lassie.
Racist Lassie.
The racist collie. It's all, I always was like, this is so embarrassing. Even as a kid, like, I was young when we had, but it was like elementary school. I was still was embarrassed. It's like, oh, that's
yeah,
like,
our
why
shepherd,
do you,
too.
Why do you only hate my, like,
dozens of people could
friends.
Walk by the house and a black guy would walk by and the dog would be like,
yeah, because, like, I mean, whatever, it was... Remember, like, the guys on the garbage truck and stuff, a lot of times were black guys. And if we would have to remember to keep, like, whatever garbage day was, we had to make sure that Sandy was in the pen or she'd fucking chase the truck down the street. Like, but she would only go so many yards. Like, that was the thing. Like, she only felt territorial around a certain circumference, I reckon.
Right.
But it was enough to be a problem, you know? It's like, fucking dog. It's like, and otherwise, she was sweet as pie. Sweet as pie. I don't know where it came from. I mean, it was the
dogs
South,
are weird, man. I had a buddy of mine who's my oldest friend. I mean, since high school, My mom got a dog. We got a dog. And the sweetest dog never showed its teeth, never growled, never barked at anyone except him. He would walk into the house, and that dog would sit on the,
I've seen that before.
Would sit on the sofa and go, for like no reason whatsoever. I said, did you break into the house and beat my
dog? And that
dog
dude probably
something?
Loves dogs more than about anybody.
Absolutely. Every other dog
and
loves
him. But the thing is, you know what? And that same dog, probably the person who walks in who hates dogs the most is going to love that person the most.
Yeah. So
my friend Lisa, I talk about her sometimes, but she hates dog. Like it's just, she just doesn't like to be bothered. It's like she likes her dog and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But every time she goes somewhere, everybody's dog is all over her.
Cats with
first,
me.
And, first, and then
I'm allergic
to
a lot of them. Like, have you done Becky Kluger's News Clues?
No, I haven't, but I've listened to it.
Podcast. She's got a couple of ginormous cats, and we weren't there 10 seconds, and the cat like jumped up on the table and was like, like in my face.
Some cats are bold like
it's
that.
It's the guy who's allergic to it, but I like them. I don't.
I know. I'm allergic to them too, and I love cats. I wish I'm going through I want a cat so bad right now phase. Every time I see somebody's cat or I go over to somebody's house and they have a cat, I'm like, oh, I want one so bad. Like my friends just got a cat they rescued, and he is this giant black cat. He is so fluffy, but he's kind of got this like temperament where he's like, meh. He doesn't want to like, he's cool. He's just not going to like come up and love up on you, whatever.
Right.
And he's like, he patrols her fucking house. He's kind of like this sort of guard cat. He's got like his like pattern that he goes to this window. Then he goes to that window. Then he comes over here. Then he walks back to the kitchen window back there to see what's going on. Like thing. And he sort of like patrols the freaking house, but when he's like plopped down, like in front of one of the windows, just cause he's kind of a big cat and so fluffy. He just looks so like a fluffy Jabba the cat. Like it's just he's such a blob of cat, but he's really not. It just looks like it. Every time I see him like that, it's so fucking adorable. I need one of those patrolling my house. So
and they're sitting in the Florida room.
Yeah. Cause I like a cat that has a personality like that better than one that just sort of lays around. It's like, man, I'd rather have every time I go looking for a cat, right. I want one with a personality.
Yeah, I'm not into dogs like that either. I love dogs, but if it's a little prissy little from me, I think nippy little asshole, I don't want anything to do with it.
You should find the one that suits your personality. Right. Like there's people who like those little prissy ass dogs that I would rather punt into traffic as well. But it's like, that's why they have, like, that's what they're for. But and I like cats because they're self-sufficient. I don't have to go out and like take them for walks and stuff like that. They just do.
You know, that box is so nasty though. That's the...
Not if you keep on top of it. You got it's the people who don't just like do it at least once a day. Because it's not like, how many times do you poop a day? I mean, honestly, cats don't go 10 times a day unless something's wrong.
Right.
So it's like if you just do it. And now they get that shit down where it's got lids and stuff. And even the one that rakes through, my friend has that where it like...
Teach them to shit on the toilet, right? You can...
Yeah.
They got that one.
But I think you need a kitten for that. And I don't think I have the energy for it. I would just be like, I'd rather scoop it. I'm not going to like... sit here and hover over a little kitten trying to keep her from falling in the bowl. As cute as it would be.
You buy a thing and it...
they've got it down to that now?
Yeah.
You buy a thing?
Where it's a litter box that sits on top of the toilet.
Oh, so then...
And you teach the cat to hang its asshole over and shit into it. And then
the
you slowly start taking it away.
Like, I thought the whole point of the litter box was so they could do like their circles and scratch of this and scratch of that.
I would think so too. I don't know.
I don't know. I wouldn't... See, that's the thing too. It's like, I don't want to deprive them of like cat things.
Right.
It's like, I don't have the heart ever. One reason I quit having pets out here is I had like two or three get run over in the street.
Horrible.
And it's horrible. You feel bad for the cat. And then it's like, and then you go through all that emotion of like, I love this critter. And now all of a sudden, suddenly it's gone. Like who wants to go through all that? So I like was after the last one, Flo, I had this big fluffy gray cat, Flo. He was cool.
Flo.
Yeah. Because I let my fucking gay ass boyfriend at the time name it. He wanted to name it Florucci after some fucking designer. And I was like, fine, whatever. And
the stuff you'll put up with.
And so
we'll name it Florucci.
So, I looked at him and I was like, I'm calling him Flo for short. And so Flo just stuck. And but Flo
You got custody of the cat?
Yeah, I got custody of the cat. And but then he got run over in the street by like some freaking like the chick who's kinda saw it. It was like one of the like neighborhood patrol, like security companies.
Oh.
There's no way to prove it. I was like, and I know who it was too. There's a dude who always was in that just, cause you know, they hire jackasses to do that sometimes. And he's like driving fast through the neighborhood. There was no speed bumps back then. I was like, you ran over Flo. Poor thing. Because some woman started yelling from the street, who has the big gray cat? And I'm like, me. No. And she's like, he's dead. And you're like, sad. So then after that, I was like, no more pets. But now, it's been long enough. Now I'm starting to think, I need a kitty. They're so cute. I see kitten videos. And
you can get a,
I become a nice person.
Guinea pig.
Oh, that's not it's a like, bad idea.
Oh, he was in here. David Rosenberg. Do you know Rosenberg?
Uh-huh. He has a guinea pig?
He sat in here once before. And he's a big guinea pig aficionado. I'm sure he'd counsel you on how to set you up with one of those little rodents.
Because then you could just let them run around when you want them to run around. And then when you're like going somewhere, you just put them in their little box.
Put them up in there, in their thing.
That's not a bad idea.
Or
and
rabbit?
Guinea pigs are cute.
I know
no,
a chick here has got bunnies. Oh, you're not into rabbits?
They leave them little shit pellets everywhere. I ain't having no damn rabbit.
No rabbits, okay.
No. They're cute. If anybody else wants one, I'll come over and pet it. But I am not having
a chinchilla
rabbit.
Or something.
Ooh, aren't like chinchillas and ferrets and shit illegal in California?
Are they? I don't know.
I think ferret. I'm pretty sure ferrets are.
Are they?
Yeah.
I lived with a family that one of the kids had a ferret for a while, an albino ferret. It was bleach white with red eyes.
Ooh, that's scary. I wouldn't want that.
It was kind of the cute. It was kind of scary.
It'd be cute, but scary. No, it's like if I woke up in the middle of the night and some red-eyed freaking rat critter was staring me in the face, I would have a moment of pause. I really would.
It looked like somebody ran over a white rat. I mean, it was like long and skinny, but it really was kind of the cutest thing because he'd let it out. And you'd play with it, it would go, it would curl up its back and bounce around. It was kind of
But
cute.
They're really mischievous, too, so you got to be careful.
Oh, yeah, you got to, that thing would.
Yeah, I know somebody who has some. Yeah. But I think they're like his are like on the down low because it's like, I don't know nobody who has nothing.
Right, allegedly.
Allegedly. I heard of somebody.
Speaking of somebody who's tap dancing right now, I just saw the headline, Hillary Clinton. You know, they're thrilled.
What?
The people on the right are thrilled. They've got a scandal.
Just all they have to, it's all she needed to do was give them something. And then that's what she went and did. It's like,
well, and
it is, but it's not a big deal. It's kind of how I feel about it.
I think it is a big deal, but it's not she can't be president big deal. I mean,
that's exactly what
I
meant. It, yeah. That's what I meant too.
These are, you know, some dinosaurs who may not understand the whole email type of thing.
Cause how old is she?
70? She's going to be 70 or something by the time. 68, maybe?
Why do we have to have so many damn old politicians?
That's what happens. Barack's young.
50, I know.
2,
that's
54?
Young. I love how that's young.
He's very young.
I know. I'm approaching it.
So Hillary Clinton has finally spoken up about Emailgate while the right is... While the Benghazi committee has circled the wagons and lit the torches, sharpened their pitchforks. We're subpoenaing everything. We want every email. Benghazi.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
Well, she's finally spoken up about it. She made a statement, said, I want the public to see my email. I ask state to release them. They said they will review them for release as soon as possible. The bonus there is that they've released a statement. State Department's released a statement saying we're going to go through these emails and we're going to apply the standards that we apply to everything on, you know, to look through it to see what can be released and what can't.
Right.
And
see if there's any
personal and what isn't, and what's relevant and what isn't. And we will undertake, quote, this review as quickly as possible. Given the sheer volume of the document set, this review will take some time to complete. So the State Department's like, you know, we'll get it to you. It's going to take some time.
Well, and in all honesty, that shit doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
How are you going to review? How many years are they going to ask them to review? So it takes time. So you got to give them that. But at the same time, they're shining those fuckers on.
Benghazi. There's a subcommittee on Benghazi.
I know.
I mean,
ridiculous.
It's
talk about a
ridiculous
horse that's been beat so many times.
You still haven't heard about the latest.
I don't know what that sound was whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen.
You still hadn't heard about the latest on that horse that's been beat too many times?
Yeah. I've got a story here. Oh, we've got, God, Pat Robertson spoke up again. He's been quite prolific recently.
Didn't he say something? I saw something he said the other day that made me laugh. Oh, fuck. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what it was, so it doesn't like matter.
There's been so many. It's kind of streaks. You know, a lot of times he just he says something and it's just ridiculously funny.
He's hysterical. I love following him because he makes me feel so much better about myself. He's nuts. He's so out of tune with anything other than this bubble he's placed himself in.
Meanwhile, he's counting his money from his diamond mines.
I know. That's the thing that kills me is there's people who follow who fucking
diamond mines. You know he owns diamond mines in Africa. Like he
Pat
made,
Robertson.
Oh yeah. He made
blood diamonds,
incredible amounts of money owning diamond mines in
Africa.
Aren't
they manned by
slaves
or something?
I think there's shenanigans.
Didn't Leonardo DiCaprio make a whole movie about it with Digimon Hanzu?
Digimon Hanzu.
That's what I call him because I can never say his first name right.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that Pat Robertson clip from the other day, but there's just so
he
much going on.
He said something recently that was just straight up nuts. And I thought about talking about it on the Hollywood Hick, but I think I ran out of time.
Ben Carson has sort of kind of apologized, you know, what he said about being gay is absolutely a choice.
Oh, he kind of apologized for that?
Guys who come out of prison... Some guys come out of prison gay.
That's the most asinine shit I have heard, and I can't remember what I read.
Beyond offensive.
It's beyond
it
offensive, and I rarely get offended at anything because I think people get way too offended way too easily these days.
Absolutely.
And people need to fucking buck up and realize that nobody's ever going to think exactly the same way they do, and if you're expecting that, you're setting yourself up for fucking disappointment. But that shit fucking offended me because I was like, no, dude, they only fucking do homo shit in prison because that's the only way they're going to get any release that they don't take care of themselves.
Right.
They don't come out homos. I guarantee you the vast majority of them who were not already homos to begin with are going right back to the tang as soon as they get out of those doors.
And rape is a violence thing, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Some of it is consensual, but a lot of it ain't.
Right.
It's not. But the thing is, it just speaks to how ignorant people like him are. It just boggles my mind to be in a position of that much stature or whatever, and then still be able to spout that shit that makes absolutely no sense based in absolutely nothing other than a thought you had off the top of your head. You know what? I can prove him homos is choosing to be homos because when they come out of prison, some of them still homo.
Exactly.
You know what happen?
And the argument we put on our Facebook, which is the logical argument, is, okay, well, share with us the moment you chose to be straight.
No, they can't. There was a whole video several years ago where they like went up to straight people like, when did you choose to be straight? And you get the most dumb
our
moments of these people.
Was it Pat Robertson talking about smoking pot being slavery to vegetables?
I was trying to remember. I was just trying to look it up on my phone too, but you beat me to it.
Yeah.
Because I knew I'd flipped it into the flipboard or something because that's the only way I can keep track of shit.
Yeah, smoking pot is slavery to vegetables.
Yeah, we are slaves to vegetables. I, Pat Robertson, thank you very much.
God
I am a slave to
free.
Vegetables. But so ridiculous.
But then, you know, he says shit like that, which is just laughable and sad. And
but
shit.
Did you see his like reasoning for it? It was like, it's like basically what it came down to. It was like, even if you smoke weed, it's like also if you eat healthy, you're a slave to vegetables. That's kind of what he was saying.
If you're vegan.
Like, yeah.
They hate vegans for some reason. I think they equate like a spirituality or something.
I didn't know they hate vegans. Wait a minute. So like
so there's a weird anti-veganism
types. Some of those more.
Yeah. If you're a vegan, you're a commie pinko liberal kind of
thing. Well, I mean, a lot of them are, but for moral reasons, because they're actually like, they might spout a bunch of freaking don't kill animals nonsense, but most of them are generally good people on the downside. You know what I mean?
Every once in a while, Pat will say something heinous.
to remind you
every once in a while
of really well. I mean, funny heinous is one thing. Heinous.
Oh, he got like heinous.
To remind you of really what a vile, bloated dead yak's taint he is. It's just this is. I think I'm not sure if this is one of those Ask Pat segments. You know, where somebody inexplicably people email this guy, and they're like, "Oh, Pat, we need your advice, preacher." Mr. Robertson, Pastor Robertson, we need your advice. This is him. Usually, the questions are read by Terry.
Is this when he does his like
Ask Pat?
So yeah. He's like he's channeling. He's got his like one way phone line between him and God
from the Lord. Sure, right, straight through the Lord. Bring it online is the segment they call it on the 700 Club. Here's a little bit of it right here, right now.
And Pat, this first one is from Sherry, who says, my spouse and I are not in agreement as to whether or not we should attend the gay marriage of our child. One of us feels that it's totally against the Lord's plan, and our attendance would send, at the very least, a mixed message. Or worse, it could be like taking a stand for gay marriage. The other feels our attendance would show support to our child that's necessary for the future of our relationship and witness. What do you think we should do? Should one attend while the other one does not?
So,
I cannot wait for this answer.
Terry presenting, saying she and her spouse are not agreeing. She didn't say which one, you notice. She's like, one of us thinks this way and the other thinks that way. She didn't identify.
Oh, that's true. There was no gender identification there.
Right. One feels that the attendance would show support to the child. Necessary for the future of our relationship and witness. In other words, as long as we can keep...
as long as they're still talking to me, I can tell them about Jesus.
We'll get Jesus shoved up that ass eventually.
That's what people like. They like... Well,
yeah. And the other spouse apparently thinks the homo, we can't. We can't. We'll be, you know, tainted with the gay or something. What do you think Pat
the
says?
Gay will wear off. I have a feeling Pat agrees with B, the homo hating parent.
Don't go, you're saying?
I think he would not like them to attend, and I think that he would think that they should also do something in some way, shape, or form to protest this motherfucker.
If you send me some money, we'll pray for you. We'll pray that your son. Here's Pat's answer to the parent. Shitty parent. You're a shitty parent. If you
you're
have to ask this
parent.
Question, you're a shitty
you're
parent.
You're a shitty fucking parent.
To the this
you're
horrible.
A Hilton. That's how bad of a parent you are.
This horrible shitty. God, I hope that little fuck goes to jail. That
6 months.
Is that
that's
what he
all,
got?
Did you not see?
No.
This is also on the Hollywood.
Oh,
Hick.
Tonight or yeah.
On the Hollywood Hick tonight, find out the fucking flip side of the Conrad / Baron Hilton nonsense.
He got 6 months. So that motherfucker.
I don't
know. Oh, plea deal. Okay. Find out on the Hollywood Hick tonight. Here's Pat's answer to this shitty, horrible, hateful parent.
Show support to our child that's necessary for the future of our relationship and witness. Sorry. What do you think we should do? Should one attend while the other one does not?
You want to ask my opinion? I think you don't agree with the idea of homosexual marriage. You say gay. I don't know if it's two men or two women.
They don't say. Mm-hmm.
Don't say. But it's not heterosexual. You don't agree.
What's the difference?
Well, yeah. So if it's two ladies getting married, you're going to have a different opinion than two men? Because I can guarantee you your answer is going to be the same. So why is that even an issue?
Right. Interesting. I think he just wants the visual.
Yeah, that's all he's doing. He's just, yeah, that's how, like, these people.
Sexual. You don't agree with it. It's just so solemn. You got to stand there and be a witness to it. And by your attendance at the ceremony, you are agreeing. We used to say, you know, anybody who opposes this, let him speak or forever hold his peace and all that kind of thing. I just wouldn't go. I would tell your child, I love you, but I cannot condone this. And, you know, we always love you, but I don't condone this activity. And
isn't that very Christian? We will always love you, but
hate everything you're about.
Right. We don't condone this. Makes no sense.
You don't. Like, that's just fucking lip service. That's all it's ever been. It's like, why don't you? It's like, I just wish they would just come right out and say it. Just like, no. Just don't go, because we don't like homos and we don't think you should like homos. And the only way that you can convey that you don't like homos for us is by me telling you not to go.
And good riddance.
And good to fucking these parents. Riddance.
I'll bet the wedding is going to be a lot more fun.
It will be a lot more fun than having to worry about, is mama going to be upset if we do a freaking, like, whatever.
I'll bet there's
going to
be other gay people
can
there.
Can you imagine? Every gay wedding I have been to has been so much fun, by the way.
Really?
Because what do we know how to do? Make things pretty, party, and have sex. And that is all three things that happen at weddings. So think about it. Like,
yeah.
And like, so we know how to have fun. So it's going to be a grand party. Always.
A big giant ass party.
Most of us know how to, if we do not know how to make things pretty, we got a freaking giant pool of people to pull from that'll like help us out in that regard. You know, it's like, we didn't all get that pretty gene because I kind of lacking it a little bit here and there. But like, I got tons of people who'd like take care of that shit for me. It's just how it works.
Friends lined up who can help you out. Here's the rest of Pat.
I don't condone this activity, and so, you know, I'm here if you need me.
Difficult decision.
I mean, that's tough, but I really think, and not one of you, I mean, that to me, that indicates that her or his conduct is splitting your marriage. You don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Be a unity, and I would say don't go.
Be a unity, don't go.
Be a unity, don't go. Don't, I don't understand this. I don't understand. I can never, ever wrap my brain around how somebody can just write their kid off for the simple fact that they're in love with somebody. Who, like, I can understand if they were a bad, like they were in like love with Charles Manson and trying to marry him. Then I could take, you should take a moment of pause. But if they're in love with somebody and they want to get married, just like you had the same fucking opportunity. I don't understand. I can't wrap my brain around these people who think that you can get away from that separate, but like, you can't say we're all equal except y'all. Like, it doesn't work. Then you've just negated your whole we're all equal. So it's like, then don't say we're all equal. Then call it what it is. If you're going to say we're going to be exclusionary, then just say it up front. Mm-hmm. But don't say we're all equal except y'all, because then you just fucking negated it. It's like the word irregardless, even though I like saying it for fun. You negate your regardless by putting the ear on there.
Right.
So it's like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand why it's such a fucking difficult concept to grasp.
What are they going to do after June?
When I heard it's going to, at April something, they've put it on.
They're hearing oral arguments.
Oh, and then it's
April.
June when it comes out.
June is going to be the decision probably, yeah.
They're, all of them are going to go nuts. Not all of them. I take that back. But half of them will go nuts.
But
and
there's
that's
nothing they can do. Like, you know,
doesn't matter.
Alabama's having its little screaming fit right now. The Supreme Court there said, no, stop the
gay
marriages.
No, my dick's bigger.
And Roy, though, Judge Roy recused himself. Did you see that?
Oh, he had. Like, if he didn't, like, then they would have.
But then it was still 7-1. And the one justice was like, what are we doing?
Or whatever you call it.
What are we doing? How frustrating for that one justice who's like, come, what are we doing? What are we doing? But those guys are fucking elected. Read that article. Well, I'll put it up on our Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving.
Doesn't make sense.
Don't forget to tweet us also at Crab Diving. Tweet the very funny Mr. Brent Paris at Brent Paris, 2 R's because it's fancy, or at the H Wood Hick
that
on the
one
Twitter.
Letter.
The H Wood Hick.
Yeah, at the H Wood Hick.
And we're all over social media. Spread the crabs, love the crabs, share the crabs, etc., etc. Do you feel like, do you need a break? I mean, we've sailed through the break time.
Have we really?
I'm okay.
I always lose track of time when I'm sitting in here talking with you anyway. So
do you need a break for any reason whatsoever?
I'm good.
I don't either. No, fuck it. Okay, we'll plow ahead. We'll plow ahead. Another drink.
Actually, I'm good too.
I'm sitting here thinking I'm a little inebriated already. This is a story out of the sovereign state of Texas, which between that and Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, they all kind of are fighting for that I'm the biggest shit pile award.
I know. I've even seen some stories coming out of South Carolina making it like there's a lot of dumb coming out of there, too.
Michigan, Dakotas, it's like whack-a-mole. So this is in White Oak, Texas. A high school there in, I don't even know where White Oak, Texas might be in regards
who
to
knows?
The state.
Texas is giant.
It's in Gregg County, it says. And the population, 6,000 people.
They're real liberal.
In Texas, where I'm zooming out. Oh, that's where it is. It's out near Longview. So it's east of Dallas, a half hour outside of Dallas or something like that. So in White Oak, Texas, there was a student in the high school there, White Oak High School, who wrote a letter to the Friendly Atheist. He's a blogger, author, famous dude in the atheist sphere. Atheist speaker kind of thing like that. He also, he became famous for his book, I Sold My Soul on eBay.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
He actually did. He put his soul on eBay and he said, he would go for to X number of services to whoever won the bids. He would go with an open mind to try to see if they could convert him or whatever. And some preacher bid on him and it didn't work. Yeah.
Of course not.
He went. It didn't work. He's still an atheist. But this kid wrote to him to try to remain anonymous, but attached some sound files to it. Every morning, the kid said, students at White Oak High School in Texas hear morning announcements from the principal. Along with something a little extra that Principal Dan Knoll slips in there. Here's a little bit of this captured sound. Hopefully it'll be good enough for you to hear.
Will fall into his own trap. But the blameless will receive a good inheritance.
That was Proverbs 28:10.
He's reading Bible verses at public school.
Public high school morning announcements from the principal.
Because he feels that it's his duty as a good Christian, regardless of what the law says, to read these Bible verses to these kids every day. I'm sure this is daily during the morning.
Oh, absolutely. Here's another one.
Proverbs 15:8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright places him.
God doing it is very good.
The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Let's have a moment of silence. How fucking creepy is this?
That's creepy as fuck. So this kid sent a thing into this atheist fella?
Yeah, well, now, you know, I'm sure the ACLU is going to swoop down and
hell
the Freedom
yeah,
From
should.
Religion Association. And
well, it's like, the thing is, like, whatever. It's like nobody's telling this dude he can't have his religion. It's just like anything else, there's a time and a place. It's like when you're at your church or with your like-minded people, but you can't force this on people at a freaking tax-paid-for fucking public
exactly.
school.
There's more of us here, though.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
What part of that? Like, why are you so fucking thick-headed? I have like hard-headed motherfuckers drive me nuts.
Terrifying. And
how dare you persecute me for persecuting you?
How like religio Orwellian is this? I mean, this on the Lord. You know, this all these kids trapped there
trapped.
Have to sit
they have
and listen,
to be there in homeroom every morning. I
and
guarantee
they're
you.
Getting indoctrinated. If this was my kid, I would be suing the flying fuck out of that. And sorry, taxpayers, you're gonna have to foot the bill for this Christo fascist principal Dan now
because nobody bothers to step up and do nothing about it.
Because they're gonna lose. This is not one of those. Where they're
it's
going.
Like it's too fucking easy.
They're taking Jesus out of the schools.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, they are.
Exactly where we are.
That is not, Jesus belongs in church, not in school.
You want to hear one more?
Yes, I love this shit.
How creepy.
That's
surrendering.
Fucking creepy.
Surrendering is the best demonstration in obedience and trust.
But that's fucking creepy. It's
Arbit
not like he's even
fry.
It's not, it's all about these, he's handpicking these like fall in line and do be a, like obedient fucking,
it's really
scripted,
some
but it's like why wouldn't he pick out like some of the more happy shit about like love thy neighbor and like do good for your fellow man sort of verses and shit. But he has to pull these, like, we're going to, like, suppress you into submission sort of fucking.
You think he brings out the, if you rape a woman, it's okay as long as you marry her verse?
I'm sure he would like to.
Or do you think he whips out the verses where God kills women and children and smites smites whole villages for no reason?
That's where he would, like, tell you that you are wrong. Like, it's like. Whatever, I'm not making a good point. But like, yeah, he would like, he knows the line because he would never use that, but he's got this fucked up way of thinking that he thinks that he is completely within his rights and he is doing that community a service by reading this shit to these kids every day and trying to like scare them into submission through the wrath of the Lord. And that's some straight up bullshit.
And why do you want to do that to kids? I mean, have you ever seen Jesus Camp?
I have heard about it, but I have not seen
terrifying,
it.
Terrifying. And there's other ones similar where really these kids, I mean, 4 years old, 5 years old, are standing around just wailing and crying, screaming, Jesus, Jesus. And they've got them all in a room and they're all screaming and they're encouraging them. Yes, cry, cry for the Lord. Yes, cry. It's some of the more frightening.
It's
child
nuts.
Abuse witnessable on that you've seen on tape.
It's fucking nuts.
And how any adult could think of allowing that to their children. What is fucking wrong with people?
They're all brainwashed.
It's a very strange thing, but there's also hope. There's also good news because another poll has come out that has said that people are running screaming from organized religion.
Oh, they're fucking mass exodus.
That
they are running for their lives. It's only old people left. It's only old people.
Yeah. There are more and more people. The fastest growing percentage of people identifying for this study are calling themselves nuns, N-O-N-E, meaning that they don't have any religious affiliation. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're baby-eating atheists like me, but it also would include your agnostics, your humanists, secular humanists, deists, the guys that believe in the force and think that there's a spiritual wonderfulness
right
out there. Even a lot of Buddhists or whatever that don't practice the organized religion, you know, or whatever. 30% of those people who identify as none still believe in some kind of God or universal spirit, it says. So they're still believers. Even
no, they're
among
still
that.
Believe in that kind of stuff. But yeah, but they are running for the hills, all of them.
So,
because young people see through that shit. That's the problem. They're like, they just don't have, like, young people now are smart enough or they're exposed to enough to be able to go, this is.
You think it's the internet?
I think the internet has something to do with it. I also think that just shifting attitudes has something
right
to do with it. Because like now people who are in high school and college and stuff, they don't give a fuck if you're gay. Like that's.
But
like,
and also society.
So, but then
control.
They go to church and they're telling them that they should fucking be against their friends. And
right
they're like, you can't do that. That's how they like, that's how they are. It's like, so the older regime of the church that doesn't understand that the younger people have a completely different mindset when it comes to right. a lot of those social sort of problems that they have, like issues that they've got with people being who they are, and you have to be this one way or the highway. It's like sort of our way or no way. But they're like, no, we identify with all kind of different shit. We have grown up where we're exposed to a lot more, so we like don't have to just listen to only you. So that's where right. the internet comes in.
Well, they can't control the message.
They can't control the message, exactly.
You know, even back in the day, you're seeing Leave It to Beaver on the fucking TV. You know, you're seeing a whitewashed...
something to aspire to.
These are the morals you're supposed to follow, society, kind of a deal. And now, with the internet's out there, people can say, wait a minute, you know, there's gay people out there who are really cool people and they're not destroying society. And there are Muslims out there who are nice and aren't flying planes into buildings.
Yeah.
And there are atheists out there who aren't chopping the heads off babies and sucking out their life force. And
I know.
It goes None against that is their happening. Narrative. It goes against yeah. their narrative.
Because they can look it up. They go like, oh, yeah. If you let them do this, then they're going to start fucking dogs. Right. And then they look it up, they go like, well, there's really not that many people fucking yeah. dogs, y'all. So I don't understand why you're going to tell me that my buddy over here who I've grown up with, who just now came out to me and told me he's gay and I could care less, but you're telling me because of him, people are going to start fucking dogs. But really nobody's fucking dogs except for a couple of crazy people on the fringe. So please root that in some more truth. Like the kids now are actually have the ability to like, decipher that shit for themselves.
This poll says that last year, for the very first time, Protestants lost their majority status in the annual report, making up only 47% of those surveyed. The religiously unaffiliated are now coming in at 22%. All told, the unaffiliated is now the second largest group in the country. It was the most common group chosen by residents in 13 states. So 13 states here are, say, we're not religious. Keep going.
Why do these overly religious people still have such a hold on shit?
Well, but the evangelicals are rising. See, of the believers of the believers in this country, the ones that are growing are the complete whack jobs, are the evangelicals.
So then it comes that squeaky wheel syndrome.
Exactly.
Mother trucker.
The GOP, of course, doesn't seem to be showing any signs of reducing their influence by evangelicals, though, because they got so much money. If they didn't care, Scott Walker would have said, of course, I believe in evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Jindal wouldn't have been saying there's Muslim no-go zones. Huckabee wouldn't be running around thumping his ridiculous book.
Trying to tell me how to do a homo handshake. That's what he's out there doing. Did you see that?
No.
Huckabee had something of like this, like apparently us homos and nobody bothered to tell me. So I've been missing out all this time.
You missed the class.
But apparently there's a certain way if we do a handshake and wiggle our finger just right, we're basically saying I'm down I'm not kidding. You can look it up on the interwebs. And it's like he put out this chart. He's like, yeah, if you do this thing, like you make this handshake, I do my finger this way. Then I know we're down to fuck.
And well, it's like this before Grindr. Or is this occurring now?
According to him, it's been going on for years and years and years.
Didn't there used to be a bandana thing?
There still is. It's like a whole bandana code. It's like whatever color it is. Yeah, it's like whatever. And that's just too much work for me, so I don't really know. I've read the cards about what it is. I mean, it's like certain things, but it's like a certain whatever color it is, and in whichever pocket means a certain thing. So if it's say, and I know this is not right, but a brown bandana, and I honestly do think brown does mean, but if you have a brown bandana, depending on which pocket it is, it means top or bottom.
Oh, really?
That sort of thing. And I probably had the color wrong, but I don't know. My mind just went browns. I went in.
Right.
But it's like that sort of thing. But it goes beyond there. Like, I know the yellow ones meant I like water sports, that sort of shit. Like, I like to pee on or do the pee in.
Gross.
Like, the obvious ones, the only ones I have remembered. But there's like a I remember being at Homo Pride once and getting the card.
But I thought that was like all the 70s bullshit. I thought, I didn't know.
No, they still do it. If you go to like, yeah, you go to certain parts of town, some of the leather bars, the bear crowd is more into that than the twink crowd, you know? Yeah, like in LA, you'd like the Silver Lake type crowd, the East Side versus the West Side sort of. East Side would be more prone to see your bandana code still going on.
I see. The
hanky code. I think that's what they called it, the hanky code. I like bandana code better, but now I think it was hanky code.
Tennessee has the highest share of white evangelicals, 43%.
In Tennessee, I believe that.
White mainline Protestants account for 14% of the population nationally, it says. The fact that religion is going away, of course, is freaking a lot of people out.
It does.
New York Times' David Brooks, just an asshole writer, right-wing lunatic. He wrote an article. He's quite alarmed. Secularism has to do for non-believers what religion does for believers. Arouse the higher emotions. Exalt passions in pursuit of moral action. He said that doesn't. It's one of these. It's this bullshit argument that there's no morals if you don't believe in God. Where can your morals come from?
How, like, why can you only get morals from God? Couldn't my parents instill morals in me? Because that's generally where I got most of the early ones.
Who gave them their morals?
Their parents. Whose parents gave it to them? Whose parents gave it to them? That's how I would like to think it works. That I come from a line of people who generally wanted to be good people.
Why doesn't
for whatever reason.
Family of chimpanzees kill the fuck out of each other? Now, chimpanzees can be violent and warlike and kill horribly members of other families, but why don't they kill their own families? Did God give them a moral code too? No, they evolved to realize that it probably is better for me
to keep some people close.
Exactly.
And then know who my enemies are.
And evolve to develop relationships. And evolve to develop caring for other people.
That requires thought, and they don't want to think. That's just basically what it boils down to. They want to be told what to think. And unfortunately, there is a very large percentage of people who like to function that way. They want to be told what to think as opposed to being able to be given information and ascertain that information and come up to conclusions of their own. Like, there's that, unfortunately, is a minority.
And our argument is that our morals, I think, are more true and deep-seated because I'm not afraid. I'm not being nice to people. I'm not killing anybody or raping or looting or pillaging. I don't not do those things because I'm only afraid of Sky Daddy roasting my testicles over an open fire for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that shit, so I'm not worried about the consequences of an afterlife. I just don't want to be a fucking asshole.
Exactly. And why is that such a horrible way to be?
Right. So I think at my core, because I think I believe it wrong to kill people of any capacity. I don't believe in the death penalty. None of it. I think that my moral don't kill people is more real than somebody who's only not killing somebody because they're worried God's going to fucking drag them down to hell. Right?
It's the truth. It's like, I agree completely with you. It's like, why? Just because I want to not be a bad person. Why do I have, it's just everything is skewed. It's like one of the best lines out of one of the best movies ever, the best little whorehouse in Texas is, you cannot legislate morality. Sheriff Ed Earl Dodd says it to the governor. But you can't. They're trying to legislate morality, and you can't. People are going to do what
Burt
they're going to do.
Is that a Burt Reynolds line?
You can't legislate morality. You can't tell people how to think, because all you're going to do is end up with, like, backlash. Just calm the fuck down and be a good person. That's all you have to do. Calm the fuck down and be a good person.
Right. And, stay in your own yard. Keep
stay in your own yard. Add that to it. You're right.
Right. I mean, these Christians.
Quit looking for shit to be upset about.
I've never seen anybody who wants to know what's going on in somebody's bedroom more than these fucking Christians.
They have to know. Because nothing's going on in their bedroom, so they got to worry about what's going on in everybody else's.
Let's see. We've got, yeah, Ben Carson tap danced away from his...
Oh, from his...
His horrible...
Prison makes homo statement.
He was on... of course, he did throw a little bit of bullshit in there. He was like, well, I have learned that on certain networks you should go live and not be recorded on tape. It's almost like he's trying to say his... it was taken out of context.
But that doesn't even make any sense, because even if you're going live, they're still taping that shit, dumbass.
It almost sounds like he's hinting that CNN and Chris Cuomo somehow
twisted
edited
his words.
Those liberals, you know, edited his words to make it sound like...
No, you said it.
Right.
And then people were like calling bullshit. So you got butt hurt and you sort of sorry, not sorry'd your way out of it.
He posted this fake apology on Facebook. In a recent interview on CNN, I realized that my choice of language does not reflect truly my heart on gay issues. That's a lie.
Bullshit.
Well, maybe that's true. He probably is one of these guys who wants to wall off a state and put all the gays in there.
Just go in there.
If not, that guy
funnest
here.
Funnest place in the country.
Or that guy here in California who just wants to shoot.
Oh, he wants to kill us.
Yeah.
He wants to kill us.
I saw laughing. That.
And this is like the second time he's trying to do this or something.
The
he wants
Sodomy
to kill us.
Suppression Act. Did
yeah.
you see
so
it?
Apparently, but it's only sodomy that applies to homos. Like, straight people can do all the butt fucking they want.
Of course.
But homos can't. That's the way his thing, whole thing was worded. And it's true. He's like, they should be fucking shot. It's
yeah.
exactly what it says.
Kill.
It's not like they should be.
He says we should kill the gays before God kills us.
Yeah, that's the most.
I
mean, it's gonna go nowhere.
Beyond,
it's just the
ridiculous.
Comedy of that one cracks me up because I was like, I love it. You hate
but nonetheless,
me so
it shows
bad.
You, even if that's the fringe, it shows you that you know
it's
when a little steam comes through that crack, you know there's enough people out there
right?
who are like, I'll sign that.
I'd sign that. Fuck them homos. I want them dead too.
And that's the one who's at the glory hole on I-5, by the way.
Right.
Those are the ones. Who are
I know, tapping
the
their toe
stops.
Underneath the
right,
skull.
Right. Ben Carson continues, I do not pretend to know how every individual came to their sexual orientation. I regret that my words to express that concept were hurtful and divisive. For that, I apologize unreservedly to all that were offended. Well, that's, you know, it's not a bad apology.
It's not a bad apology, but it's, I don't know. I would like to hear him say it because I'm sure that was just tainted with the tone of sorry, not sorry.
But he does
I'm
say,
only apologizing because people lost their fucking minds. If nobody had said anything, I wouldn't have ever fucking...
He goes on, I'm a doctor trained in multiple fields of medicine, which makes it even more terrifying. I support human rights and constitutional protections for gay people and have done so for many years. I support civil unions... for gay couples and have done so for many years. I support the right of individual states to sanction gay marriage, and I support the right of individual states to deny gay marriage in their respective jurisdictions.
Oh, and then he says something too, doesn't he say something about you should just live where they like accept you or something to that effect.
I guess, yeah, move. If you want to get gay married, you know, move. If you live in Arkansas, yeah. Fuck off. Too bad. Move to commie liberal Limperous to California.
And I would like how much I'd like to see what would happen if on the off chance he wanted to get hitched to some white woman and some redneck somewhere was like, no, we're going to outlaw interracial marriage here in freaking Mississippi
50,
or wherever.
50 years ago, that's
I know.
What was happening.
How freaking fast would he have lost his ever loving mind? So it's like the unwillingness to put yourself in somebody else's shoes coming from somebody who should have more empathy than anything else is part of what bugs me the most about that. And I find so horribly offensive. And I just think he's so fucking his sorry, not sorry attitude about the whole thing. Civil union. I support this. I support that. No, you don't. You don't support any of it. You're only giving lip service to the cause because you're at least smart enough to come to the conclusion that I've got to like give a little bit on this one way or the other. I'm going to lose a huge chunk of constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. They've gotten to the point like if I want anybody under the age of 35, I got to compromise at least a little on this homo shit.
But they don't seem to.
But they don't.
I
but
mean,
the
they
thing
don't
is, they tainted
it
in words like that
yeah.
to make it. They start out with "I'm for all this, I'm for all that," and then they round it about. but I'm really not. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had my way, we'd all be one of the states who denied it.
Well, when he said civil unions, I mean, that's separate but equal.
It's the same. I know, but it's,
how could a black man
you can't
support I, separate what, but equal? Inexplicable. Yep, yep. Jesus, Brent's
I was pointing up
at the sky, up
I
at the
was
Lord.
No, it's his. Yeah, because that's what he wants. Because they all have that direct line that Pat Robertson has right to him, so they know exactly what he's thinking at all times.
But he did say he was talking to fucking Hannity yesterday.
Ugh.
That lughead. And suggested that his interview was chopped up. But instead of saying, well, here's what I actually said, he told Hannity, I simply have decided I'm not really going to talk about that issue anymore because every time I'm gaining momentum, the liberal press says, let's talk about gay rights, and I'm just not going to fall for that anymore.
So he's taking the Bill O'Reilly approach.
So the liberals, every time Ben Carson, who's going to save our country, starts making any headway, the liberal jackals ask him about the homo and tear him down. What a fucking loser.
Well, right. And to think, thankfully, he has never, that campaign is never going to go very far.
Well, we have his words from before. He's every article I read about him, they always at the end say, meanwhile, in the past, he's called marriage equality a Marxist plot, described marriage equality supporters as enemies of America. Apparently, we're enemies of America.
We are enemies of America because we don't
support marriage equality.
That is the biggest problem out in the world right now.
He thinks any judge who rules for marriage equality should be removed from office because, you know, if you don't agree with us, that's the way things work in America. We don't care if you're elected or whatever. You're just, we don't like what you decided, so you should be removed. And most infamously, he compared homosexuality to pedophilia and bestiality, which he also half apologized for his poorly chosen words.
The thing is, he knew exactly what he was saying. So that's why I'd say fuck you to his apologies on the flip side.
Exactly.
Because I don't, you've done it too many times. It's like you quote unquote misspeak, mm-hmm. and then you come on the flips. You basically misspeak by saying what you intend to say with full intention. Like this is how I get like coming back on the flip side at some point saying, well, that's not really what I meant, when already the idea was that you really wanted to project was out there. And then now you just come back on the flip side with damage control. So fuck you. I don't believe you. I think you're doing exactly what you intend to do. And I think it's despicable. And like you should really and truly be drowned in a toilet. Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
about
he's
it.
Pandering to those knuckle draggers.
And unfortunately, the freaking squeaky ass wheels of them all make such a big deal out of it. And that's what everybody picks up, and that's all everybody hears. And then the other thing that pisses me off is stupid people. So the complacent people in the middle are the ones who drive me nuts because they let all these right-wing crazy people get away with shit. Because
this last election shows it.
Yes, exactly.
Shitty turnout. And had we turned out, had the Democrats turned out, none of this would be happening.
I know. It's just because everybody was so damn complacent, they were like, meh.
Well, supposedly they're starting to get, you know, because these fucking Koch brothers they've just been insidious for decades and have really kind of brilliantly gone after these local elections and these school board elections and city councils and state elections, so that they're really trying to stack the decks. And then they go with this gerrymandering to make sure that they keep
their
where
shit.
They're at, you know. Well, now finally the Dems apparently seem to be waking up. Now they've been putting out papers that are like, here's the long term. Here's how we have to go after local elections finally and start winning some of these elections, because we can't have these Louis Gohmerts making decisions for adults. We can't have Steve King making decisions for adults in the country. We just can't.
You can't.
And the fact that there was a fucking Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act and things like that proves that there are still fucking states that need to be watched, that need to be sitting at the kids' table for fucking Thanksgiving.
Yes, exactly. Because you know what? We still got our eye on you. Because
look at Ferguson. Ferguson, this report coming out about these police, the police, the courts, the prosecutors,
it's
a cesspool
ugly.
Of
it's
racist motherfuckers. And we just need more and more about this. God, why is this headline on the fucking Huffington Post? What happens when a man breaks his penis? I don't even want
That's the main headline. I don't even want to think
about
it.
It's not the main headline. It's down on the side, but still it's in the, you know, it's near the headlines. They're just pandering to the
clickers.
Yeah. Clickbait.
That's total clickbait.
Bait. You know, they found a note. We talked a little bit about that opposition leader in Russia who was gunned down.
Oh, right. Like, right as he was writing that report.
Like across the street from the fucking, across the street from the Kremlin, for God's sake. And now they're saying that there was a note. Did you see this? There's a... That he felt he was doing some investigations or some shit, and he felt that he was being eavesdropped on by... Is the KGB still around? I don't know. Whoever...
They say it ain't, but I don't have a feeling that's the truth.
Yeah, it's not those letters, maybe, but you know damn well that there's something equally, if not more, heinous. Boris Nemtsov... a day before he was shot, he was talking with a close aide discussing a sensitive investigation that he was preparing, looking into Moscow's backing of the separatist fighters in eastern Ukraine, which Uncle Nipples, Vladimir Putin, for the longest time, and even still, is like, oh, I don't have nothing to do with that. They're separatists. When everybody can see that they're really just fucking Russian uniforms with a piece of duct tape over the Russian flag. So this opposition leader, Boris Nemtsov, he was talking with this aide of his, but they didn't want to speak out loud because he assumed that his office and his house is bugged.
Which it probably was.
Oh, absolutely. So they were scribbling notes to each other talking about this. How fucking terrifying is this that you got to do that? And this one of these last notes that he scribbled was some paratroopers from Ivanovo have got in touch with me. 17 killed. They didn't give them their money, but for now they are frightened to talk. His aide Olga Sharina said he did not want to say anything just in case. He didn't want to utter it out loud, which is why he wrote it down for me. So now it's coming out that maybe he was digging a little too much into Uncle Nipple's involvement in Ukraine. Meanwhile, at home, Putin is saying, oh, look at these. The evil West is taking over Ukraine and stealing it from the brave fighters there. And we're not doing anything. We're just standing back. But the U.S. is giving them all the, you know, I mean, he's just lying. Meanwhile, he took Crimea, walked in there.
Just walked right in.
Right. And wants to do the same with Ukraine. So now maybe who knows what it's fascinating. There's so many.
It is kind of fascinating.
I mean, is this the kind of thing where there so many people were saying there's no way Putin would have had this guy killed? It's just too obvious. But what if that's the brilliance of the plan?
It's that it's so obvious that it couldn't happen in everybody's eye.
Right. But then other people say that they don't know that it's not necessarily that this isn't good for Putin, that this may have been a message to Putin telling him you're not in charge. Kind of.
Oh, so it's like some fucking mob kind of shit.
Who knows?
Like,
yeah.
The other guys are like, let me show you. Like, I'm going to hit this dude. So, you know, you better keep your eye.
So despite the overwhelming evidence, Russia still denies sending troops or arms. Saying that those fighting in the Ukraine are volunteers. They're volunteers.
You call them volunteers.
Yeah. last Friday night, after dining next to Red Square, the 55-year-old former deputy prime minister was walking near the Kremlin, shot four times in the back with his, he was walking with his girlfriend across the bridge, right across from the Kremlin. That's why they think that it's a message to Putin.
Because it was right across the street.
Right. They could have gotten him anywhere, anytime, in a back alley, in a car, in his house, anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But this was a public, a very public.
That's actually a mob shit.
Execution.
They just walk up to you on the street and bang.
Putin has called the death a shameful tragedy, denying the Kremlin is involved. But this guy was no angel either. You know, I was reading some stuff about him too. None of these guys.
None of them are. That's
when
the
you
thing.
Think about it. It's not, it's nobody's. Like, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who had reason to probably pop that guy.
So it's a lesser of evil, but evil nonetheless. I guess you just keep hopefully chipping away and putting in lesser evils until finally maybe you'll get somebody who's not evil. But has that happened yet?
Not yet. Not that I can think of.
I don't think Obama's evil, despite what a lot of people in this country do.
I know. A lot of people think he's evil.
I think he's made, you know, I think he gets stuck with some horrible, I think he's a horrible progressive like us who may have, you know, you get dragged into reality when you're brought into
that's
that.
The thing. It's like you, yeah, I know. He hit a wall of opposition that nobody in history has ever met simply because he's half black.
Absolutely. And an article.
And it's like nobody, I think, what president has walked into the presidency that you can think of where immediately the first thing they said was our number one goal is to not let you accomplish anything, to undo anything you do, to just make sure
Bitch
that
McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah. Freaking turtle head. Like there's like when like not
jobs.
You can say that, but you don't proclaim that. You know, you tell your buddies that's what we're going to do.
Now let's get us out of recession.
Just, yeah.
Let's get jobs for the American people. Let's make life better for everybody.
Our number one goal is to make him look bad.
One-term president. And that's all they've been doing. That's all this Obamacare lawsuit is about, is to try to shit on Obama.
His legacy. Whatever it's like, which there's not much to like legacy.
Did you see that Netanyahu debacle continues to backfire for those idiots? Obama's approval rating went up 5 points. 5 points after the whole Netanyahu bullshit.
Wait a minute, what was the Netanyahu bullshit?
You know how when Bibi came to speak?
Oh, right, that guy.
Yeah, Bibi Netanyahu.
Okay, this is where I'm also Israel. Stupid, just like the other one. I thought you were saying like on the net and Yahoo, like something on the internet. Like it was on the net, on Yahoo.
And the net and Yahoo.
Yeah, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
He's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, he spoke, you know, before our Congress the other day, basically saying we need to go to war with Iran.
Right. And then the president called bullshit on him.
Undermining, right.
Said you didn't say nothing new or something like that,
absolutely.
Right?
So at least no, there's nothing new. This guy.
What was the point of having that dude come talk to him?
To embarrass the president.
So it wasn't the president's idea.
Boner, the orange dude, the Speaker of the House invited him over. And that's the big controversy is that
I didn't know the White House. I should pay more attention. I thought the White president House, invited him over.
Ew.
They were like, he like basically saying, let's hear this guy out.
Nope.
Right or wrong.
President said, we will not meet with you because it is our policy. When someone is this close to an election in their own country, we do not meet with foreign leaders to give them free campaign material. And he even was did a joint conference with Angela Merkel not that long ago, the German prime minister. And he said the same thing. He said, I'm not going to meet with Netanyahu because he said, I love Angela Merkel here. But if she was 4 weeks away from her election, we're not meeting with her in the United States either. We don't do that.
We don't do that.
And
but
yet,
then Boner made him do it.
Right. And very few people, except for the hardline lunatics, stood with Boner. Even mainstream Republicans were like, this is
bullshit.
This is shitting on the presidency.
Right. Not just this one,
yeah.
But all of them.
And potentially could have horrible consequences because if these talks that we're trying to have with Iran get scuttled, which is apparently what they want, then maybe they will be closer to having the bomb. And that means that, but then that's what they want, because then John McCain can fling away his Viagra prescription because we're back at war and nobody likes a
war.
Good war than the Republicans. Because then they can make money. All their friends at Halliburton and McDonnell Douglas and Boeing, whoever makes all the stuff that goes boom, can make tons of money while all the brown people go to fight.
Well, exactly. Send all the Browns in to fight. The way people just fucking do shit is beyond me sometimes. I can't wrap my brain around it. It's evil. Like, it's like you look at them like just there's a tinge of evil to it. It's like you're elected to an office where you are supposed to, your main goal is to make things better than when you arrived. Like, that's what the expectation is, or at least was at one point, right? Like, if you would, but now it's like we're just going to see how much we can fuck some shit up before we get out of here. Is pretty much the attitude. It's like when I was a Boy Scout, like they told you, like, whenever you go camping somewhere, you should leave it better than you found it. Like, that's how I think you should go into being in Congress or a senator or something. Like, your intention should be to leave this place better than I found it. And the exact opposite is what people think these days.
Right.
Like, we're going to go in here and fuck it up just to make it be exactly what I want. No greater good. There's none of that.
Right. Like the marijuana stuff. I've got a story here.
Oh, yeah. Where fucking what's his name said that Colorado is the reason that New York had a Bratton said that Colorado is the reason that murders are up in New York. Did you see that?
Bill Bratton, the head of the police union in New York?
He said he blamed Colorado murders being
good God.
Spiked in New York.
Because stoners kill a lot of people. Meanwhile, crime is down.
At the same time that Washington, D.C., the mayor or whatever of Washington, D.C., put out the same message saying that...
she's saying, fuck you, take me to jail.
She said,
fuck you.
She said, stoners want to find something to eat. Drunks right. want to get in fights and cause trouble. I paraphrase, but like basically what she said. She's like, I'm not worried about pot smokers. They're just worried about like having a good time, like chilling and where I'm going to get some munchies. The drunks, like, it's like the numbers are like completely disproportionate in the trouble caused by drinking versus weeding. It's like weed does not make you volatile. Like, if it does, then there's something really wrong with you otherwise.
Well, now Colorado,
all the crime is down, like
right.
40% or something
right.
ridiculous.
Everything's down, and they're making money for the schools off of all these taxes. More money than they anticipated,
like tons more money.
But now the fucking asshole sheriffs, the sheriffs of the
neighboring
of the
states.
Not that this is in Colorado, but yes, and Kansas and Nebraska are all suing. They're all trying to sue. Filing a suit against Colorado and the governor. They want to reinstitute.
Why does it sue?
Marijuana prohibition. They want to close the 330 licensed marijuana stores that have opened up. Their primary argument is that the ballot measure, which was approved by the Colorado voters in 2012, is preempted by federal law and therefore violates the Supremacy Clause of the United States.
Then what about the right of the states?
But these are the same people that will shit on that supremacy clause when they talk about the gay marriage being
right.
forced
on us.
Right,
so then what about
us?
The right of the states then? So it's like I can't,
it's
this fucking
hypocritical.
Dish it out but can't take it mentality is one of my least hated or most hated qualities in people. I can't stand somebody who can dish it out but can't take it. It's like, no, if you want it to be decided by the state, then fine. Let it be decided by, but when the state decides, shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And they're all for freedom and autonomy
and
local control and stay out of our business, big government, until people start doing shit they don't like.
Exactly.
And so then they decide,
and
then oh,
why
now
is your
they need
recourse
big government.
To sue? Why do you want to sue? Then your recourse is put it back on the ballot and let the people decide.
Right.
That's how it works. That's how it got here in the first place. That's how it's supposed to work. From what I understand, that's what this country was built on. So fuck you. You can't have your cake and eat it too. This do as I say, not as I do mentality ain't going to fly.
Right.
Take this boot straight up your ass and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Motherfucker.
Join us on our Facebook, all over social media. We only got a couple minutes left here of the big show. Go to crabdiving.com over on the left-hand side there. You can see buttons for all of our social media links. Tickle our buttons, touch each and every one, and it'll take you to a wonderful place. Make sure you like us, spread us, and share us everywhere. There's all kinds of great stuff here for you, 24/7 streaming with love on the network. crabdiving.com/live or /listen. You can hear the stream. And then for all the great stuff that's here on the network, for example, the Hollywood Hick on the sevens.
The Hollywood Hick.
Streaming live for you on the sevens. With the stream, well, it's live from tape on the sevens. And brand new shows on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Tuesdays and Fridays on the sevens. Or the tens, depending on which coast you're on.
Right, 7 p.m. here on the Pacific Coast. And you can always get them afterwards. A few days later, they drop as a podcast, which you can get at crabdiving.com. It's on iTunes and it's on Stitcher. You can get go to crabdiving.com. It's probably the easiest way just to find all the links.
Yeah, just click right on it.
For all that stuff. Well, thanks for sitting in today.
Thanks for having me.
You got any comedy coming up?
Actually, I'm doing a show over in Burbank tomorrow at Jimmy's Bar, I think. I know some bar show. We'll see how that goes. And then... I don't know. I'm hosting a thing over like Thirsty Thursdays next week over at the Flappers in Burbank, too. So I got a couple of things going on.
Well, you can follow Brent on Twitter at Brent Paris, again, two R's, or at the H Wood Hick.
The H Wood Hick. I know it's hard to say, ain't it?
The show one. You just got to remember it. Once you get it, it's going to be fine. If you go to our Facebook, we got a couple minutes left. One of the stories there. This is interesting. You know, right now they're fighting in Missouri and very specifically in Wisconsin, where that turd Scott Walker is from. The best thing about Scott Walker is, God, I hope he's this cycle's Rick Perry, where everybody's licking his asshole right now on the right. They love him.
Just give him enough rope.
Except at CPAC. You see who won CPAC? Who won the clown show at CPAC?
No, which one?
Rand Paul.
Of course.
But my favorite stat from CPAC was the person who came in dead fucking last in the poll. And he was there speaking. Chris Christie.
Oh, he did. Oh, good. They hate him. Some bitch.
They hate him. I've said I want a reality show to follow him around 24/7 because I want the moment
that he melts down,
that he realizes he'll never be president. I want that captured on that fat fuck's
that
face.
Moment where he's like, everything shifts.
Because he's still delusional now. He's still running around thinking there's hope. Somehow, I don't know, inexplicably.
Ain't doing no governing. All he's doing is campaigning.
He thinks this, he's the Giuliani of this cycle. He's the, governed by swinging my big dick around and being an asshole to everybody.
Ah, fuck you.
But he's going to flame out. And Ben Carson's a joke. He's going to flame out.
He's going to flame out.
I'm just looking so forward to the next year and a half, man, for this Republican clown car.
It is about to come a shit show.
Tear at each other like jackals. And it's going to be, we're going to have clips here every day.
Every day.
Every day that it happens. Well, this music, which is playing. Oh, I don't, you can hear it out there. We can't hear it here. tells us it's the end of the show. Like I said, everybody, crabdiving.com for all your crabby needs. All the great episodes of everything else here. The Cannalinguists are following here if you're listening live. Otherwise, you can download episodes of everything. There's the Cannalinguists, the Daily Upper Decker, Morning Wood, Pieces of Silver, the Hollywood Hick, our show. More shows coming soon. We got some new programming coming up in the hopper. Right now it's in its second trimester. We're going to try not to abort them. We'll be back tomorrow here live. I think Ryan will be back calling in from Pensacola, Florida, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific, like we are here every weekday for your ear holes. Thanks, Brent, for sitting in.
Thanks for having me, man.
Listen to the Hollywood Hick on the sevens here, and follow Brent on all the social medias, like we said. Thanks, everybody. We're back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving and on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.